About this next part of unity. And so it's actually, if you were to call this anything, I would entitle it the unity in differences. Not indifference, like it doesn't matter, but in differences. We are unified in one body, but we're very different. I don't know if y'all noticed it. I'm a little different than y'all. You know, and y'all are a little different than me. And it's okay. It's all right. In fact, God loves diversity. He really does. Now, I'm not talking about social diversity like they talk about in the news now. But when you look at diversity in nature, how many different colors of birds are there? Oh, different types of snails, different types of trees, different types of leaves, different types of plants, different types of animals, different colors, different shapes, different sizes, different types of persons. Amen? And the beautiful thing is God's no respecter of persons. Amen? He does not, when I say care, don't think of it as American thinks of care. He is not overly concerned about how tall you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how fat, how skinny, right? He doesn't care about those things. He does not care so much about the pigment of your skin. He cares about the depth of your soul. He cares about the love that we have one for another. So he made differences. Differences are good. I am so glad that we are different. I'm so glad that God loves so deeply and richly that he made so much variety, but yet they all live symbiotic. They live in symbiotic relationships. There are certain trees that can't grow without certain mushrooms, right? The morel mushroom, unless you have an elder, elm tree, you won't have morel mushrooms. That's the only tree it grows around. It's the only thing that it can get its nutrients from. It's the only thing that it gives. And a mushroom, when it grows, it actually sends its fungi through the ground for acres and acres and acres around. So you get one mushroom, but it is actually infected or I don't want to say infected, introduced its living energy from God over a vast area. When you see mold on your bread, right, that little gray part of mold, I always used to cut it off. I still do. I don't eat it regular. But by the time you see the mold on your bread, its root system has already penetrated the whole loaf. Before it ever shows itself, it goes in deep and it starts spreading all the way throughout the whole loaf of bread before you ever see that little green speck on top. You know, so how many here were taught just to cut the green off and eat it? Well, you know, you're eating a mushroom. You might as well have left the green on it. You know, because you're eating the spore anyhow. And you know what? It didn't hurt you. You know, and y'all are thinking, wow, you're weird. I am weird. And that's okay. God made me that way. Not the way that the Democrats are calling weird now. Weird is a good thing. It builds your immune system. You're right. You eat some earthworms. It is good for you. It tastes like dirt, but they got a lot of protein, a lot of water in them. You know why they come up with eating? You know why they call it grubbing? Y'all know what a grub is, right? Well, that's where it came from. Well, yeah, we ate grubs, right?
I ate them.
You ain't eating them? When's the last time you had a McDonald's?
Watch what you say.
You ate them. When you get hungry enough, grubs all of a sudden become pretty good food, you know? Chew them good. God loves diversity. He loves the way that he makes one thing. Symbiotic relationships. We each need each other. The bees need the flowers, and the flowers need the bees. The flowers will not multiply. They won't grow without pollination. And God made bees with special little hairs all over them to pick up the pollen to make the flowers regenerate. And then they bring that back to their hive and they vomit it up and makes honey. What do bees like? Honey. You, honey. They make honey, but they like pollen. So they bring the pollen and they make their honey out of it, and then we get to eat the honey. So who here likes honey? It's bee barf. That is what it is, and it's good. You know, when you say it that way, it sounds kind of gross, but it's a symbiotic relationship. And with the honey that's in the hives, it builds up your immunity for certain things. If you are allergic, all right, I want to get into all the science or the my type of science. It's not real science. Go ahead, brother.
Quick testimony.
Yes.
I got an aunt married into the family. She could not eat half of anything that you would see on a plate. Lettuce, radishes, couldn't eat anything. Went to a doctor. The doctor told her to start eating honeycomb.
Right, yes.
With the wax.
The wax, yeah.
Don't swallow the wax, but chew it. Today, there isn't anything she can't eat.
Really?
Amen.
Right. The Bible says honey is a natural healer.
And it is.
Local honey. Local mm-hmm. honey is where you're...
Yeah, where you're at, yeah. Yeah. And so when you were living up here, you ate all of the honey from New Yorker honey. Yeah. Where do you make your salsa? And so, El Paso. No, we make it in New York. Anyhow. But now that you're down south, you're being exposed to a lot of different pollens and things that you don't get up here. You're being introduced to sweat.
Yes.
There are sweat bees. Y'all haven't seen sweat bees up here. Oh, up here? I've not seen a sweat bee up here. I've seen those deer flies, but a sweat bee is different than a deer fly. But sweat bees down south, they're all over the place. And they like to land on you, and they lick the nectar off your neck. Nectar. My wife is saying, just preach. Just preach. I'm saying, I love her to pieces. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank Him for these things. Father, we do thank You. We love You. We praise You, Father, for the many differences that You have to make a body. How many different parts and pieces it is to make the human existence happen. Father, how we are one with You and You are one with the Father. And Lord, we are all together one body with one Lord and one Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for the one baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be united in You in spirit and in truth. Lord, that we would worship You with the deepness of our heart. And I pray over the words that we're going to talk about in a few moments, Father. They're Your words. They're words of life. And I pray, Lord God, that as we hear your explanation of things, we will learn how to love one another as You have called us to love each other. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for those things in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask for real quick forgiveness as I was praying that and it was coming out of my mouth. I said, geez, that sounds like what something like Kamala would say. You know, this one and that one. And then we like yellow buses. Why? Because they're yellow. Don't everyone love the word yellow? And so, anyhow, that the way that she talks, and I was saying one this, and I said it so many times, and anyhow, forgive me.
Don't ever compare yourself to her.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take that as a word of growth. But as I was saying those words, it sounded that way in my head, and so that's why I kind of stuttered a little bit, and I got to start to rephrase things a little better, you know. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to spend our time there today as we look into the diversity of the love of God in the body of Christ. That we could indeed be the one. We need to depend on one another the way that God has called us to depend on each other. We need all parts of the body to glorify the body of Christ and in and as a whole. And he says, he had just finished talking about some spiritual gifts. He says in verse chapter 12 and verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I gave you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
there's a couple things here. He just laid out the two types of people in the world, the lost and the saved. All right? So in verse 3, wherefore I gave you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. When you hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain and add it to a curse word or say that God is accursed, is an accursed thing, you know, they don't come against Buddha, they don't come against Islam, they come against Jesus Christ. Jesus says, no man, and those folks who call themselves Christian and do that, the scripture right here says that they are not Christian. They are not born again by the Spirit of God. If you feel at ease cursing God or saying that he is a cursed thing, and your spirit just welcomes that and you're able to say it without any piercing in your heart, I dare say, go back to square one. Mm-hmm. Are you saved? And it says also in that no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. All right? You can't really say that Jesus is the Lord. Notice it didn't say Savior. He said Lord. Lord is different than Savior. Amen? No, unless you're led by the Holy Ghost, you cannot humble yourself under the power and the authority of Jesus, the risen Savior. Amen. You can't do it. Why? Because I want my way, and when do I want it? Right now. And God says, you can't get your way unless it's my way. When you seek for my way, I'll give you your way, because your way is not the way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And no man goes to the Father but through him or by him. So in that, I cannot say that I want to do things in my power. I need to surrender to the power of God. And with that, I can rest it that no matter what happens, no matter how it unfolds, I am right in the middle of God's will, because I'm not seeking my will, but resting in his will. Right? And so in that, he goes on and says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Praise God for that. Amen? There are many different gifts, but it is the Spirit of God. If you're doing it in your spirit, then you are actually calling God accursed. Rest in the power of God, in the righteousness of God, and allow him to do the things that God has called you to do. Only through his power can you do that. You can't do it in and of and by yourself. If you do, you're going to be doing it asking amiss, that you would take it on your own desires. And so he tells us that there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. Same Spirit, same Lord. Amen? And diversities on both sides, differences and adversities. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. All right? Those last three verses that we read, 4, 5, and 6, all right, what we have here is there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. All right, there are differences, diversities, differences, but it's the same Spirit. So I can't say that I am better than Doug Yaw or Nancy Yaw. I can't say that I'm above them, because God gave them a different thing than he gave me. He gave Tom a different thing than he gave me. But Tom's thing is just as important as mine is. His teaching is just as important as what I say. That's why when we teach here on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, we're laying out the teaching. That's why I'm very open to what the Spirit of God says to Skip, what the Spirit of God says through Alan or through Kevin or Kevin, to Kevin's, Kevin Squirt, or through Joshua or through Wendy or through Amanda. I want the Spirit of God to speak through you, because he has something to say to us through you. There are differences, and we don't have to agree with everybody all the time. There are differences, but that doesn't mean that he's wrong, or I'm wrong, or you're wrong. If you're following Christ, then he's right. It's the same Spirit that opens your mouth. The way to desire or to divide that truth is we need to test the spirits to see which kind they are. Because there are some folks, because of the liberties that we have in this church, that will say things that are not Scripture, but they sound really good. So because there are diversities of gifts, there's diversities of talent here, there's diversities of the working of the Spirit of God, if somebody says something and someone doesn't agree with it because it doesn't line up with the Bible, you have the power and the authority to say stop. You know, you have the power and the authority to say, that, you need to show me more than one place in the Bible where that's true, right? Let's get the whole story. Tell me the backstory before we can get to the fullness of it. But these diversities, they need to be led by the Spirit of God. The administrations. There are different administrations in the body of Christ, but it's the same Lord that gives them. Right? In this body, there's really, well, there's the deacons. Right? I don't spend money without the deacon's permission. Unless it's, I think they give me a certain amount that I don't have to give an answer for. You know, I think it's like $150 million or something. Or five, you know. But in that, and it doesn't matter the amount. That's why I made such a ridiculous thing. But there are certain things that they trust me enough to say, all right, you're able to spend this, right? And then you can show it up on the when we have our deacons meeting. And my wife, which has a different administration power, which my wife's administration power is the physical power that makes this church work. Yeah. Without her administration power, the light wouldn't get paid. All right, without her administration power, we wouldn't send to the ministries around the world that we support. You know, without her administration power, I would go off the rail often, right? But she's the one who makes sure the bills gets paid. She's the one that makes sure that things get done that need to get done. That's her gift. She's a great organizer. You know, I can talk and I can talk a lot, and y'all know that. You know, my wife doesn't say much, but what she says, there's weight to it. I'm like a babbling brook. You know, it bounces around, makes a lot of noise, rolls water. But Debbie, she is a deep river, right, full of wisdom and truth and understanding about things I don't know. You see, I get a paycheck, I've never seen it. She says I get paid. It's not like in the old days where there's actually a piece of paper that, all right, hey, I got this. Now it's done somewhere in the ethernet, you know.
Up in the clouds.
Oh, it's, yeah, it's up in the cloud. You know, there's a cloud up there. Really, there's a cloud. And so she does that. We pay the electric bill and the gas bill here, but we don't write checks for it. It just...
And every church has its own administration.
Right.
Every independent church.
Every independent church, yeah. And the ones that aren't independent, they still have an administration, right? Like the Catholic Church, all of the funds that come in, they get gathered together and they get sent to to Rome. And then the high-to-do folks over there send it divided up the way that they think it needs to be divided up. We use the Word of God and we divide up, but we have an administrator that takes care of those things. When we have a need, Roberto in Guatemala, his septic tank collapsed last week or week before last or maybe a month ago now. And he didn't know what he was going to do, you know. And he lives on the side of a mountain. It's really hard to dig an outhouse there. So what are you going to do? Well, he called and he asked for help, talked to a couple of the men here, and they said, well, let's help. All right. I said, hey, honey, we need to help. You know what she did? She administrated. You know, but there was a course of things, but it was done by the Lord. It was done by God. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That's where the water hits the wheel. The Spirit of God comes into the body of Christ, and he gives certain individuals or certain groups of people wisdom to do certain jobs, right? But it's not for me. God didn't give me these messages to make me feel better. God gave me these messages to edify the body of Christ. He gave Tom his messages to edify. It's God gave it to him to pour out to others that others might grow. So it's not about the individual, but it's about the body. And the Spirit of God added to that. He gave to every man to profit with all. He gave us the ability to study the Word of God, not for us, but for others. I said it this morning in Sunday school, it's not about you. It's never about you. is never about you as the individual. It's about the body of believers. God gave us the Spirit to profit with all, that we all could be made better through the understanding of God's Word, that we all could grow into the unity of the Spirit of God. This unity, this pillar that we're talking about here, this fellowship and unity that's actually bound up in love, these are the things that make a difference, us from the golf club, or us from any other worldly group, Boy Scouts, I don't know, what's that, it's bocce ball. There's bocce ball teams, there's baseball teams, hockey teams, there's teams, right? And those teams, only certain people are goalies, right? Only there's lines and stuff, and some people play closer to the land. In a football, they stretch out beside each other, side by side, and the one in the middle is the fattest, right?
Usually.
And he's fattest because he can stop people from running over. He does it for the whole of the body. There's only normally one person pitching in a baseball game at a time, right? One person pitches, one person catches. And then there's all the other folks all around. But there's only one of them there, but they do it. They do their job not for themselves, but for the team, right? I've heard there's no I in team, but there's definitely a me. So this team, which is the body of Christ, we're supposed to be led by the coach. I'm using sport metaphors, and I know nothing about sports.
You're doing good.
You know? So the only, it's odd. It's just odd. I'm talking about, I think I'm doing it correctly. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a coach. And that coach, that leader of the team, is the Holy Spirit of God. And he calls us together to accomplish his will, to win the game. Right? Now, God is the victor. The coach is the victor. We already read the back of the book. We know that we are victorious through Christ. Amen? There's nothing. But in that, we need to walk in the fullness, in the oneness of God. The pitcher cannot win the team, the game by himself. The center,
mm-hmm.
The middle guy,
mm-hmm.
All right? He can't win by himself, all right? He needs the guys on both sides of him. He needs the skinny guy in the back that chunks the ball really far, right, and tries to hit targets that are running out there, right? Because it is a team effort. Right? To reach the lost, it is a team effort. To show the glory of God, it's a team effort. We're built together in one body, in one spirit, not for our own edification, but for the edification of all of us here and for those who are on the outside. He gave us the right and the responsibility to walk in the oneness. It tells us in verse 8, for to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom. Amen. Another, the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. Now, there's the cool thing. God gives wisdom and knowledge. It's two different things. Do you know some folks got a lot of wisdom and no knowledge? Amen. The folks who say there is no God might have all of the wisdom, all of the book learning in the world, but they have no knowledge. There's folks who have all the knowledge and they have no wisdom. So they know there is a God, but they don't know how to administrate what the Spirit's given them, which gives them no knowledge. They have the wisdom of God. The wisdom with God, but they don't follow the Spirit of God. So it's not how much you know, it's how much you know how to use, right? How much you know how to apply the Word of God. And so, but the same Spirit gives them both. It's by the same Spirit of God. To one, to another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, independently as he will. God uses his Spirit to say, Kevin Cannell has a certain gift. And we're going to use that gift for the body of Christ. Kevin Quinn has another gift. And I'm going to use that gift for the body of Christ. He gives us these powers, these authorities, not for our own edification, but to edify one another that the world might know that we have one Lord.
Right.
Amen? That there is one Lord that does these things. One has a spirit of the ability to have faith deeper than someone else. Do you know that? Some folks have more faith than other folks do, but it's the same Spirit that gives it either way. How do you get more faith? By the Word of God. Hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The ones who really want to walk with God, or want to have a deeper relationship with God to share that more, spend more time in their Word. Why? Because they know that this is the only source of truth. It is the only Spirit of truth. It's the only place of righteousness. And so, if you really want to have faith, you need to be in the Word of God. If you want to have the understanding of God, you need to have this Word meditated on and applied in your life in a very specific way. And God gives you that desire. Why do I want to read, spend more time with God? Because I know how much He loves me. I know how much He wants me to know about Him. And I know how much He wants us to reach into a lost and dying generation with the light and the love of God. So this is why we trust Him and walk with Him. He says to another, working of miracles. How many here say you've never seen a miracle? I tell you, praise God, I'm glad that none of you say that. Because we have seen miracles. Dave, right here. I mean, Dave, praise God, that is a miracle. Right? Anytime anyone accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, you know what you're seeing? A miracle. That's a miracle. Anytime you see somebody being healed, you say, well, the doctors did that or medicine did that. No. I've known folks that went to the doctor and followed all the medicine that they needed and they still died and went ill. Amen? But I've also seen those who we thought were going to die get healed and changed and miraculously brought up. There's miracles for that. I believe that the prayer and laying on of hands, I believe because the scripture says that. If there's any of you sick among you, ask the elders of the church to pray, lay on of hands, and to anoint you with oil. I believe that. I believe, why? Because the Bible tells me to do that. But it doesn't say that I need to go to you and anoint you. You need to come to us and ask by faith. Because by faith you're made whole. And that is a gift of God that you can even believe that the Word of God can heal you from your infirmities. Do you believe that? Oh, we say we do, but when we get sick or something goes wrong, where do you go first? You go to the medicine cabinet. Right? When you burnt yourself, second degree burns over a lot of you, what did God tell you?
The day before, He reprimanded Asa for going to a doctor instead of to him.
Amen.
And that's the first thing I thought of when my hand was burned.
So you see how the Spirit of God was working? My brother Doug was in the Word of God reading this obscure passage, right?
In the Old Testament, because we know, you know, certain teachers say you don't need the Old Testament.
He's reading the Word of God. God gave him a word of wisdom to apply it to make knowledge. And then the next day he had this fire explosion and burnt him but good. Okay, now he had the choice to go to the doctor, and the doctor was going to check his toenail that wasn't burned, right, and tell you that you need to get on this medication. And then after all that, you might be made better. If nothing else, you can come back and I'll give you more medication.
And plus make me pay for it.
And make you pay for it, right? So he took the Word of God. He said, I trust God. I'm going to do what the Bible tells me. I know some basic things. I'm going to wrap it up because that's what the doctor's going to do anyhow. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to keep it moist. I'm going to trust God. And you know what? Not one drop of infection came out of those burns. Amen? Amen? And they healed in the natural way that things are supposed to heal. Look at there. Looking at his arm, you can't even tell that it was burned. He's even growed back the hair that came off of him. Amen? How did he know how to do that? The Word of God, the Spirit of God, spoke to him, showed him. As I was saying that, my flesh jumped up. All right? And I was going to say, well, you got to trust the doctor sometime. No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you do. I think you need to trust the Word of God all the time.
He may send you there.
He may send you. Amen. Luke was a doctor, right? And so I'm not down in doctors. But unless I see a bone sticking out of my body, I ain't going to one of those guys. You know, Unless there's something really, really wrong with me, like I'm coughing blood or something like that. And if I am, I'm just going to wait because God's got a better reward for me anyhow. You know? So, and stop my mind from going that way. I'm going to trust God more than I trust the doctors. All right? I'm going to trust God. I believe that that there's plants out there that will help you with stuff. I absolutely, totally believe that. We know that the leaves of the tree of life is for the healing.
Yep.
All right? There are plants, there are things that God made that will make you better. If you just trust Him. Go ahead, Josh.
And God's word is true whether people believe,
It or not. Amen.
The belief and the effects of the individual.
Yes.
It's still true.
So in that, the Spirit of God dividing to every man as He wills, individually as He wills.
God has something for you, but God wants to work something in you for the body of Christ. And He knows what your faith is and how much is in you that you'll be able to pour it out. And the Holy Spirit does that work in the individual. You can't make it happen. The folks who try to make miracles, you've seen them on TV. Heal you in the name of Jesus, right? But first, send me your check. You want a miracle? I need a. You give me a $10 bill, I'll give you a $10 miracle. Give me a $100 bill, I'll give you a $100 miracle. You give me no money, I ain't giving you no miracle at all. Creflo Dollar said those words. All right? And so just think of his name.
Creflo, give me your dollar.
Yeah, Creflo, give me your dollar. He ain't worth 2 cents. But anyhow, the oneness of the body, the divisions and the purposes of the body of God in verse 12 through, it says, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Differences but one. All right? We're all different. There are different administrations, different things, but there's one body and we're different in every way, but still supposed to be one. He's going to give some examples here in verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were the eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were the hearing, where would the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased Him. God has you in this body of Christ because it pleases Him to do it. It's God's pleasure that we come and that we serve. I serve to the pleasure of God, not to the pleasure of man. There are many different parts. He gives this great example. If the foot say that I'm not the hand, isn't it the body? Remember what it said earlier, that there are many vessels in a house, some for glory, some for not for glory, some made of silver and gold, and some made of brass and wood. But that doesn't mean that they aren't vessels in the house, that they all have their independent working for the edification of the house of God. Not all of us are pastors. Praise God. Not all of us are teachers. Praise God. Amen? Not all of us are toilet cleaners. Please, God. No. Praise God for that. Not all of us do the same thing, but everything that's done in the body needs to be for the body. The next pillar that we're going to be looking at is servanthood. That's why I think God held this part separately from all of the other teachings, because we need different parts that God has gifted different people with different abilities that the whole of the body might be made stronger. We need the diversities of the body of Christ pulling together for the power of God through the Spirit of God to make the oneness of the body prevalent in our day and time. Right? In this time that we're living, He did these things not for something high in the sky, heaven off somewhere, but he did it for right now, right here in this time, in this space that we're in right now. God gave us different parts in this body that the fullness of the body might be edified and grown together in one body, in one spirit, in one holiness. And how can one part say that I'm... How can any part say to the other part that you're not good enough?
Right.
Think of the smallest parts. Doug speaks a lot about DNA. I've never seen DNA. But if we didn't have it, we wouldn't be here. It's a very viable part. Not every part of the body, the working of the body. There are some folks that just pray. And when I say that, I'm not putting down just prayer. Prayer is the blood of the body of Christ. It's how things really work. And it's asking the Spirit of God to work inside of the body of God. And folks who are have the gift of intercessory prayer, talk about a powerful gift. I think that's more powerful than preaching. I really do. You may say, well, that sounds crazy. You're a preacher. I think the folks who are prayer warriors have a more important part than my part. Out of all the studying and stuff I do, prayer is what makes the difference. It's not how much you remember or how much you say. It's how much you pray. And then resting in God that He would produce out of you the things that are already put into you by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to pray one for another. As you see the day approaching, forsake ye not the assembly of one to another. We need to come together. We need to pray. The manifestation of the body of Christ through the individual, the symbiotic relationship of the church. How I need Tom. I need Paul. I need Steve. I need Mike, right? Brother, I need you. You are Mike, right? In the purple shirt?
Rick.
Rick.
Mike's brother.
My brother. It is. Somehow I got you. Anyhow, Rick, I'm sorry. I always call you Mike. And don't take it personal. Ask anyone here. I called them by the wrong name. If I got the first time I called you wrong, I will call you wrong forever. You know, there's nothing. Isn't that right, George? You know? That's my grandson. I don't even know his name. So don't take it personal. God gave me the ability to preach. He didn't give me the ability to remember names, you know. But we do have other folks that are here that do those things. My wife, she doesn't forget a birthday. I can't remember a birthday. Anyhow, so how can one part say that it's not important? Rick, I almost called you Mike again. Rick, you may not think that you're much, but you're very important here. You're very important to this body. We need your input. Because without you, we're not complete. Right? We're not complete without each other. We need one another. And you may think, well, I only just show up every once in a while and I do, you know, that kind of stuff. You know what makes you more important? The more you hang out. I find that I need you the more that I see you. Right? When you're not here, I feel the absence of your presence. We're going to have to struggle for a couple weeks as the yaws go off to Texas. And so, Wendy, I mean, love you, but you moved to Alabama, and that's like cutting my thumb off. Man, we operate, but we don't operate as well as we did. So we're waiting for God to grow back another Wendy. You know? And she's being used where she's at, and she was called down there by God. But that doesn't mean her absence... Dave in the back. We miss you when you're not here. You know, when you're out playing golf with your broken arm. Or, I don't know what you do. But when you're not here, I miss your presence. I miss your input. Dave, he's sick and at the house. He can't be here. But when he's not here, I miss him not being here. But you know what that makes me do? It makes me pray for him. And now I'm seeing God do work in his life that is fantastic. He's growing. He's growing in strength. Praise God. We thought a couple months ago he was going to go to glory. You know, and now I'm anticipating him one of these days walking through those doors on his own power. Amen. I'm, oh, Man, what a shouting day that's going to be. I can't wait to see that. And so, but we need each other. We need all the weak parts. We need all the strong parts. And I love this about verse 18. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him. That's why I don't assign jobs. You know, a lot of folks say, well, Curtis, you're not a good administrator because you try to do it all. Well, no, I'm waiting for God to raise up a person. You know, I've seen this done in other churches that I was part of through the years where the pastor says, you're going to be the Sunday school teacher. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And maybe they're not called for that job, but they're forced into that job, right? And that's how they do more harm than they are good. How? Oil in an engine is a good thing. Amen? You put gasoline in the oil reservoir, that's not a good thing. That engine will not run for long. It's going to click and clack and it's going to seize up. Until God makes the individual, raises that individual up to fit into that slot, then that part of the body will do better.
Nothing wrong for you to pray for God to raise that person.
Amen. And I do. We do. We pray for that. You know, we pray for that. We ask God. And don't get me wrong, I know my wife loves teaching the kids, but do you know that she's been a child teacher for 25 years now? She said, not yet, not here. You know, don't get me wrong. That's what she's called to do. That's what she loves to do. So there's nothing wrong with that. But it's time for her to find a Timothy. Or not a Timothy, a Timothette. Timothanette? Anyhow, somebody to come along. One of these days, she's going to get to the place where she can't do the adding and the subtracting. And we need somebody to come along. No. See, I did that. That was wrong of me. But God needs to raise that person up to that has the mathematical mind to do those administration powers. Because we're not as young as we used to be. You know? We are getting older. And it's going to come to the point one of these days that God's going to have to raise somebody up to stand in this pulpit. I'm going to die. Get used to it. I'm going to die. Or I'm going to get fed up and I'm going to go somewhere else. I don't know what God's going to do. I do know that if we don't start... We need to start praying, let's put it that way, that God would raise members up in this church to meet the needs of the next generation.
He even said that. Pray to send the laborers.
Yeah, amen. Pray to send the laborers into the harvest. Right? And I'm looking for someone younger.
All right?
Yeah, I know. So God's got to raise up younger people. So what do we need? We need, stop me, Lord, from saying what we need. What we need is the unctioning of the Holy Spirit to move inside of the individual to create a hunger and thirst to meet those needs. Amen? So it's so easy for me to stand up here and say, I need, we need. No, I see the future need of the body, what I perceive they are. But who knows? If the Democrats win this election, we might be outlawed. We might have to start meeting in other places, you know, and that's okay. You know, that's a big house. Amanda, we might be meeting over at Amanda's house. You never know, right? It's her birthday. And so, but as those things, God needs to raise these people up, all right? Verse 24. Well, actually, 23. Those members of the body which we think to be... I'm not there. All right.
21.
Thank you, my brother. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, that I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I need you feeble folks. We need each other. Not to think more highly of ourselves, especially if you're called to do something. The pastor is the chief minister. Deacons, Don't think of yourself high and mighty because you're a deacon. You know what a deacon is? A table waiter. You're the guy who picks up the silverware and the forks and that kind of stuff. You wipe the tables off when the dinner's done. That's all you are. Don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought to think. The pastor, ooh, he's the head of the... No, I'm not. I'm the mouthpiece. I am the chief servant of this body. Right? We shouldn't think of ourselves more than that. And that's what the pastor is. Amen? We need to think of ourselves more humbly and less haughty. Right? That God would raise us up. These members, verse 23, of the body, which be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness.
Those are the people. They're told to make the judgments in the church. Use these people.
Yes. Amen. And they don't have to be friendly. You know, that you don't. You just got to do your part. The chamber pot, right, is not the best. It's. I'll use a spittoon. We all know what a spittoon is. You may not know what a chamber pot is. But anyhow, they're the least, but they're most needful in the house. I guess the chamber pot is a better one than a spittoon because we don't need to spit in the house anyhow. I'm sorry, honey. I don't know another way to put it. A chamber pot is a latrine. It's the bathroom. Isn't it nice to have a bathroom in your house? Isn't it nice not to go outside and have to dig a hole every 2 or 3 years and move the bathroom from one hole to another? I think those are good things, right? Now, without a chamber pot, without a bathroom in your house would be less of a nice place. Amen? But you don't want to pull the chamber pot out in front of everybody, but you want to use a chamber pot every time you need to. Yes. He says, I understand. Those things, they're less commonly, they're not good to look at, but they're very needful. They're less... The lesser parts that need to be done in the body of Christ are the ones that get the greater glory when the glory comes. Amen? And so don't despise small beginnings in the body of Christ. For the comely parts have no need, verse 24, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set in the church first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts, then healings and helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. I added no there. Are all prophets? No. I added no there. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gift. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he's going to talk about tongues, and he's going to talk about, at the end of this, he's going to talk about charity. The greatest of all these things is charity, is loving one another, walking in the righteousness of God. Not all of us are teachers, not all of us are prophets, not all of us are able to stand and speak. But all of us have a very intricate part in the working of the body of Christ. In a building, the plumbing is hugely important. Electricity is huge. In your body, the gallbladder. They try to take that out of people because they think it's bad. That gallbladder has a huge amount of necessity for the body, the whole body. And when they take it out, all of a sudden your body has to do something else to make that work. Does it get inflamed and blocked up? Yeah, why? Because we abused the gallbladder. Right? When we abused it, it stopped working correctly. But that gallbladder, being a small, intricate little piece of flesh that nobody thinks about until it becomes inflamed, but it's huge in digesting the food and making gall for you. It produces enzymes and chemical reactions inside of the human body that makes all the body work perfectly when it's done right. When you abuse it, then it gets inflamed and it doesn't work nearly as well. But if you take care of it, the gallbladder, when your gallbladder swells up and bursts, it'll kill you. You think about that, nobody even knows where the gallbladder is. It's the bladder of the gall. No. I could get into where it's at and all that kind of stuff, but it really doesn't matter. I tried to think of the smallest, most insignificant part of the tonsils. Tonsils are very important to the rest of the body. Right? When you take them out, you don't have those left. Why do they get inflamed and messed up? Because you weren't taking care of the body to start with. And that's what caused them to get inflamed and messed up. Because we were abusing, anyhow.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah.
The greatest of all of these things in the body of Christ is the unity of Christ and treating it with the honor and the respect that it needs to be treated with through the power of Christ. If we are going to be the church of Jesus Christ in these next couple of years, we really need to start focusing on what is necessary in the body, how to best minister those gifts that are given to you. Each one of us has a specific duty in the body of Christ to edify Christ in this world. Amen? I don't know. I feel. I got to stop that. Doesn't matter what I feel. I said what I think the God of the Bible told me to say about
Amen.
The unity
Amen.
In the body and how we're lacking certain things in the body, all right? But trust God. We are getting older. Amen? We are getting older. We need to pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. Because there's going to be a lot of people searching. I'm no one who can foretell the future. So when I say I'm not a prophet, that's what I'm talking about. But what I see in the world system, there's going to be a lot of human beings looking for stability, looking for answers, looking for a body that they can become secure in, that they can find hope, love, joy. And this body of believers that we call charity right here, if we start doing what the Lord has called us to do, we can be that resting place for a plethora of people, different colors, races, ethnic backgrounds, belief systems. We can teach them how to love one another the way that Christ has loved us. And so I said all that to say this, amen, right? Love you guys, and anyhow, you know, I feel like I feel flat, you know, and I feel flat because I've run everything out. I have nothing else to say, but I'm still talking. Dear Father, we do love you. We praise you. We thank you for this. I pray that, again, we will embrace the diversities of gifts, Lord Jesus, the diversity, the different administrations, and Father, the operations that you've called us to under the same self-spirit. Lord, that we would be one with you as your body, experiencing and expressing the gifts that you've given to us, Lord, for the operation of the church in this our day. Lord, I do pray for wisdom, for knowledge, Father, for the way to apply your truths in this our day. And we thank you for those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right.